Who's gonna criticize me for everything I say in class and write it up on Dundabots. Now, she's actually one of my mentors as far as giving class. And she edits some of my blogs to make sure I don't offend too many Vaishnavas. Like, we had one blog. The problem is I start these things like a joke session, that's it. So we had one blog. Freedom. And I was started the blog saying that... Oh, you want to translate this? Probably. I started the blog using these terms, emotional bondage. And then she pointed out to me that emotional bondage, she has this picture, many people have the picture of someone being, I better let you translate, being tied up like in a jail cell and tortured. So I changed that. So I changed the terminology. What did I say? And he's introduced these paradigms to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, established the Ombudsman Office in ISKCON, and trained up many, many mediators around the world, and he's going to be training up quite a few here. And helping ISKCON resolve some of their internal conflicts and also conflicts within the self and conflicts with the world in general. Also, Brajavihari facilitates our GBC meetings. And also our GBC conferences. And when he has spare time, he takes care of his family. And he's here with his son. Very fortunate. What's your son's name again? Gopinath, that's right. Gopinath. And Brajavihari's wife is the principal of our Vrindavan's Gurukula. So this is the first time he's been here in the Balkan area. And we're very fortunate he's going to be giving training in mediation and also some general discussion of conflict resolution, right? Haribol, we're very happy to have him and Mother Irmila here. Irmila Pravi here. Okay. So now I guess we'll have a little kirtan to start. Is there a microphone stand I can put this thing on? What? Oh, the camera. All right, first we'll have the kirtan. Oh, yeah. Let me give you the camera.
We got to juggle things. Get a microphone stand for me.
That will not fit. So, anybody request any songs? Oh, sorry, give me another microphone. Gonna sing some Beatles songs or something like that. You need somebody to love, you want somebody to love. Okay, so because Haribo, okay, because Brajavihari has requested, I'm not going to use the cartels. We're going to sing this song from his ethnic background. And it's originally a European song, actually, Yiddish song. But we're going to put Hare Krishna to it, and we're going to clap along with it. When you clap, it's actually better than playing cartels. We request everybody, no cartels. You ready? So the melody, there's two parts of the melody. Maybe we should dance along with it, too. Oh, yeah, why don't we have a dance? How about the Gilead dance? No, I'll teach you how to do it. I have a special dance. So we also have some flute players, clarinet players here, very expert musicians. And the melody goes like this. I can change the key if it's not good for both of you, but it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Adi Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can you play that with the clarinet? Got it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there's a second part to the melody. Then you... It goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, what are we going to do? We don't have so many people, so we can form circles. Is that all right? Everybody's into dancing after a full meal? So this is a very simple dance. The men can form one or two circles, the ladies can form one or two circles. And just sit down and play. Okay, and yeah, join hands, and I'll show you what we're going to do. Okay, so the first part of the melody, where we go, Hare Krishna, Hare, you go clockwise in a circle. Some of you remember this from last year's camp. So you one foot in front of the other. Watch. Dun, 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 like that. And then the opposite direction when we do the other melody, like Hare Krishna. But you run in the other direction when we do counterclockwise when we do the other melody, okay? Oh, Swamiji, Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll do 5 or 10 minutes of this as a warm-up. Okay, mridanga, yeah, we can use mridanga and harmonium. So, ready. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Faster, faster. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Clockwise. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Ram Ram Hare Hare.
All right, so we were going to do a little laugh yoga, but we're not going to do it today. Tomorrow we'll do a little laugh yoga before the seminar. Today we're going to get right into the meat of the seminar. Right into the essence of the seminar, and we'll have to excuse me because this projector is an old projector. Tomorrow I will bring my own projector, which is much brighter than this. And tomorrow probably we'll have Braja Bihari working with me on the seminar, right? Because he's my mentor. Okay, so let's get going. First thing is, I want to read a quote from Srila Prabhupada about compassion, because this class is about empathic communication, which is very much connected with compassion, which is the hallmark of Vaishnavas. So I don't know how many of you can read, but I'll read this off to you. And then after reading this quote, we want to observe, let's say, 1 minute of silence where we let it sink in, the meaning of what Srila Prabhupada has just told us. This is a very nice meditation when you can actually just be quiet and think about some really deep spiritual instruction that you've received from the pure devotee coming down into cyclic succession. Okay? So this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me, and myself in you. The first principle to be understood is that this world is a product of the Supreme Will. This means that everything should be considered a product of the Lord's energy. And therefore, everything should be employed in the service of the Lord. One's energy should be utilized for one's self-interest. This is the perfection of energy. This energy can be utilized for real self-interest if one is compassionate. He is not satisfied that only he himself is a devotee, but he tries to distribute the knowledge of devotional service to everyone. It is also said that a person who goes to the temple of the Lord and worships with great devotion, but who does not show sympathy to people in general or show respect to other devotees, is considered to be a third-class devotee. The second-class devotee is he who is merciful and compassionate to the fallen soul. The second-class devotee is always cognizant of his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. He therefore makes friendships with the devotees of the Lord, acts compassionately towards the general public in teaching them devotional service, and refuses to cooperate or associate with non-devotees. As long as one is not compassionate to the people in general in his devotional service to the Lord, he is a third-class devotee. The first-class devotee gives assurance to every living being that there is no fear of the material existence. Let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nescience of material existence. So we'd ask everyone, just you can either close your eyes or however you feel best about just thinking about this, letting these words sink in. Just take 1 minute of silence, okay? Okay, we're going to show a little clip from a movie I have about Lord Buddha. It's a cartoon about Lord Buddha. And I'm sorry you can't see it too clearly, but this will show how your empathy or your compassion can be transmitted to others. As I mentioned to the devotees in some of my previous seminars in Serbia, and also in Croatian Split, that each of us has a particular mission in life. We were talking about this in our past life regression seminar. So it's important to recognize that mission in the progressive spiritual path. And as I mentioned to the devotees, that the mission that I see for myself is to develop compassion and love for all living entities, and somehow or other I'm focusing my life in that regard. So in that light, I've been learning different techniques for mediation with Vrajabihari, and studying different techniques and different books and with different seminars I've been attending. And so that's basically my background. You know, I went from being a puffed up brahmachari many years ago, and by the association of devotees like Vrajabihari, the heart is starting to soften after a little time, and we're trying to transmit that. Okay, so let's see this brief clip. It's going to, and maybe I'll explain what's happening because this is not connected to the sound. So there's Buddha walking along. Buddha, as you know, is an incarnation of Krishna. And as he's walking along, this man has some really bad intentions towards Buddha. Notice I'm not calling the man a bad man. I'm not finding fault in him. He says, "Hey you, come here. Why are you running away from me? I'm not running away." He describes it as you who is running away from your life. And he shows some compassion or empathy towards him. And the man says, "Do you know who I am?" And Buddha basically says, in a Krishna conscious standpoint, "I know who you are. You're a spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna." I'm adding some words to that. And Buddha says that it's not that people in the world are evil, they're misled or in ignorance. And he deals with him in a very compassionate, empathic way. He says, "My business is to torture others." He said, "I don't want to hear your words." And he said, "I want to cut off your fingers." And he says, "All right, if you feel good about that, do it." And he approaches him in a very compassionate, loving way, saying that you're like my child. And then this person has a transformation of consciousness. He puts down his knife, and guess what happens? He bows down at Buddha's feet. So the moral of the story is that it doesn't really take two people to learn mediation or empathy in order for empathy or mediation to occur. It just takes one person. If one person is properly compassionate, using some of the techniques that we're going to be talking about today and changes their consciousness, then the other person or persons can be affected by that mood of empathy. Now, I'm not suggesting that you try the same thing that Buddha did. Because if you do that, before you're fully realized, you may get your hands cut off. But there have been instances of people who use these techniques in dangerous situations. In fact, in the book that I've been studying, there was one instance of a lady that was threatened, and a man was going to rape her. And this is a true story. And she actually approached him in a very empathic way, and we'll go over the steps of what she did. And he gave up on his attempt. So there's an actual energy of empathy, an energy of compassion. Now, I remember the first time I met His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was in 1971. And the thing that impressed me the most was his loving mood of compassion. He didn't even have to say anything for me to feel or experience that mood. I realized that here was someone for the first time in my life who loved me without demanding anything in return. You know, unconditional love. You know, we know the pure devotee loves the Supreme Personality of God in an unconditional way, ahaitukiya pratyata. But because the pure devotee loves Krishna, he also loves all of Krishna's parts and parcels in an unalloyed, unmotivated way. So this is what convinced me to join the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It wasn't the dress, it wasn't anything else. It was Prabhupada's great compassion and empathy. Okay. And so, I guess we can go around. So, does anybody have any expectations they'd like to share with us for this particular course? It's called Empathy. What you'd like to get out of it? Anybody like to learn something? Yes. Like what Buddha did. Okay, that's good. Anyone else? Anyone else like to accomplish something? The sankalpa, desire, intention while you're here? Yeah.
I want to know in which way should I go in order to build my character.
Okay, that's very good. And so we're not going to go over all these questions because this course is rather short. But these are some of the reasons that people decided to come. Okay. So this course is called Krishna Conscious Empathic Communication. And it's based on the teachings of a person named Marshall Rosenberg, who taught this seminar, or many seminars, continues to teach seminars in the name of nonviolent communication around the world. And I've actually applied the principles that he's been teaching to Krishna consciousness so it fits within our paradigms. And as we progress through the course, some of you may have questions of how it fits within our paradigms because it may seem like something new. And we'll take the time to explain that because that's a basic need that you all have to understand how this fits within Krishna consciousness that you all know and love. So by taking this course, you will free yourselves. Here's what we call a whiffim. What's a whiffim? Does anyone know what a whiffim is? What's in it for me? Wow, good. What do I get out of it? So, what we get out of this, you know what that is, Mother Emily, whiffim? You never heard of that before? When you start a course, you should do the ETR and the whiffim. Did you know that? Learn something new. ETR means, Raja knows what it is. Earn the right. Okay, earn the right and what's in it for me. Okay, so free yourself from the effects of past experiences and conditionings and so far as interpersonal dealings and also dealings with yourself. Breaks patterns of thinking that lead to arguments and conflicts, anger, depression. Learn how to resolve conflicts in a transformational way to transform your relationships with other people and even create a revolution in society. And this is what I get in trouble with for the with the GVC, especially Gopal Bhatta.
learn how to create a revolution in society so society is no longer a domination culture, and I'll explain what that means as we go through the course, and have relationships with all the devotees and with humanity at large based on respect and compassion and love. So you may be thinking, if I can accomplish all these things, I'm going to work a miracle. But I can't accomplish any of them. You have to accomplish them for yourselves. Everybody here is responsible for their own actions, emotions, choices, life. And I'm responsible for what? Does anyone know what I'm responsible for? For my actions, life, choices. I got to take the reactions for whatever I do. You got to take the reactions for whatever you do. A true instructor or mentor doesn't do everything for the pupil or student. He shows the student how to do things for himself. So it is up to all of you to apply, if you wish, if this course fits your needs, to apply this in your lives and practice, because this is going to take practice to actually make the changes that we want to make. Okay? So empathy means connecting to... We're going to define empathy in one sense. It means to actually connect to needs. But very interestingly, not only to connect to someone else's needs, but to connect to your own needs. You know, most people think, you know, empathy means just love everybody else. But empathy starts right there. And we had one interesting posting we put on the internet. It was called Love Yourself. Quite radical statement, love yourself. Actually, we can justify that because what is the self? Does anyone know what the self is? Anybody have any ideas? The soul, yeah, but what is the soul? Part and parcel of who? Can you say that louder? Radhashyam Sundar. Part and parcel of Radhashyam Sundar. So what do we know from this Upanishad? Yastu Sarvani Bhutani, Atmane Vanu Pashati. Nobody knows that verse, okay. So what do we know? What we know is that if you love Krishna, you love what? Everything. And who are you? Part of everything. So if you hate yourself, you're hating part of everything. And if you hate part of everything, you'll begin to hate everything after a while. And Krishna loves you so much that he's sticking around in your heart while you're rotting here in this world, trying to avoid him. Does anybody have a wife or a husband that would stick around that long? Raise your hand if your husband loves you or your wife loves you so much that if you didn't pay attention to them for thousands or millions of years, they would stay with you. No? Should all take sannyas then. Isn't it? Is that true love? No. So Krishna is sticking around with us for thousands and thousands of years. And when we go back to the spiritual world, like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, what does he do? He embraces you, faints on the ground like we did with Gopakumar, and he says, I've been waiting for you so long that I personally appeared myself to be your guru. Because if you have a guru, Krishna is appearing through the guru. It's not that the guru is, you know, Vishnu Tattva. You know, I left my other two arms back in the room that I'm staying in. But Krishna's speaking through Guru. And that's how much he loves you. So, if Krishna loves you, love yourself. So, empathy begins within, okay? And empathy towards others, too. So the another question is, what is empathy? And we'll answer it right now because the time is short. So these are different qualities of empathy. Most people think that empathy is something different. Most people think that empathy means sympathy. Like, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Poor girl. Oh, let me fix it for you. Isn't it? That's what we think empathy is. But really, empathy, expressing empathy requires presence. Like Christmas presents? No. All right, let me demonstrate this because it's actually getting too pedantic right now. We're gonna do a little demonstration of empathy. Anyone want to come up here and work with me? Or is everyone sleeping? Yeah, Trivagram. Okay. We're gonna demonstrate presence. Look, no, here. Look at me. And you're telling me about your problems. Tell me about your wife or something like that. Yeah. How she nags you. Is she here? I know, she's out over there. She won't hear what we're talking about. Okay. Tell me about your problem. Do you have problems?
I'm too busy.
So presence means full attention. The opposite of presence is you're too busy with your work, you know, just looking at your watch. Focus means focusing. Not too close. Space means you give some empathic space, which means you stop sometimes and just say, you don't just immediately respond. Intention means that your desire is actually to connect with the person and to help the person take care of themselves. Not fix it. Fixing it would be something different. Tell me something bad about yourself.
Everything.
What? What do you feel about the temple president?
Everything good.
All right, let's have someone who has some bad things about their life. Anyone have any bad things in their life? Sit down. We're gonna show you the opposite of empathy. Come on, some volunteers. Ladies, you're better at expressing bad things. Your mother Ermela, you're good. All right, she's a good actress. Okay, so tell me about some of the problems you have.
Well, my kid never listens to anything I say. He's totally rebellious. It's just driving me crazy. I mean, I just don't know what to do.
Okay, so the opposite of empathy would be I try to fix it. And all right, so I'd say, you know what you should do? Give your kid a smacker and a cracker. That's how you'll fix him. Smacker means when he does something bad, you whack him. And when he does something good, you give him a cracker. You know, reward and punishment. Good old B.F. Skinner. Then you feel better about what I just said to you?
No.
All right, just stay there. You're good. So that's not empathy. You know, empathy is caring. So we're going to tell you what empathy is not. It's advising. No, stay there. Another thing I would say is just, yeah, I had the same experience with my kid. Let me tell you about it. You know, when he was 5 years old, he wouldn't behave himself at all. So I sent him to military academy. And he came back a perfect gentleman. Do you feel any better about my advice? No.
I feel that you don't understand my particular situation.
Yeah. But if I listen, if just listen without advising, just giving presence, then you feel like someone's understood you. Or there's other things you can do we're going to learn about later on, which is
saying things like, I see that you're in anxiety because you have a need to bring your children to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. And then you feel connected when you hear that, isn't it? Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. She's good.
I don't know.
I felt sorry for you.
All right, yeah, that's good. No, you felt sorry. That's good. That's empathy. Not feeling sorry is not empathy. Yeah, feeling sorry. Okay, so the question I want to raise here is, we as devotees are supposed to be exhibiting a lot of compassion and empathy. And so sometimes we see that, you know, here we are with a little flower, the original flower children, the Hare Krishna movement. And at other times, what do you see? Great anger. It's amazing. You know, you have someone who knows the philosophy perfectly, who can preach, you know, from a pulpit and just convince so many people, and the next minute after he's gotten off of the pulpit, he has uncontrolled anger. Why is that? I mean, this is a big question. Why the dichotomy? Because our true nature, our Krishna conscious nature, is to always be compassionate and connected. And according to Srila Rupa Goswami, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udarupasha Vegam, a Krishna conscious person doesn't succumb to the pushings of anger. You know, we have to learn what to do with anger. So now we've become disconnected. So how did we disconnect like that? All right. How did we get here? Here you see, I don't know if you can see this little thing. This is like a big authority, Krishna conscious authority. Little brahmachari, brahmacharini. And the way we got there is because we have, we're disconnected from our own needs. This is a needs-based course. And if we're connected to our needs, we'll experience this empathy. Now, before we... Well, let's ask the question, how do we disconnect? Now, one of the main ways that we disconnect in the Krishna consciousness movement and outside is because we're accustomed to judgmental language. Now, I don't have a pad to write things with, and tomorrow we'll have a pad, but I want to ask you all for different statements of judgmental language that you have heard since you joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, these judgmental statements generally use the verb to be. That means you are this, he is a that, they is a that, they are that. I'll start it out. I have heard many times from other people, even recently, that I am a rascal. I enjoy that. So any other statements? We'd love to write them down, unless someone wants to hold up the pad while I write. Do you have the pad there? Yeah, the pad. Is anyone good at holding things up in the air? Okay. Why'd you do that? Hold it against your stomach. Hold your stomach taut so I can use it as a writing surface. And we're going to... Braja Bihari showed us that we have to title everything. Words or phrases that disconnect. Forgive my handwriting because it's even harder to write on his stomach. Can you hold it higher? 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 Tomorrow we definitely have to get a stand. Okay, here's one. Well, just imagine that there is an is before. You are a rascal. Anybody else have any nice words? Yeah, Professor Bihari. Space out! Lazy! In my mental, I'm getting writer's cramp. Sentimental. Sentimental. Can someone else write besides me? Because I have carpal tunnel syndrome right now. One of the ladies? Sita, you can write? Okay. Thank you. So, okay. What are the other ones? Nonsense? Any other ones? Useless? What about you ladies? Don't you have any special words for yourselves? Matajis. Woo! That's a big one. The Matajis. I mean, we have this thing in ISKCON that even if you know, like you have a 5-year-old girl, she's your Mataji. It's really cool, you know. I was at the Serbian camp, and they had on the ladies' bathroom, it said Matajis. I crossed it out, and I said Pravis, because we have this habit in ISKCON, and when we say okay, referring to men, okay, all you Prabhus come forward. And all you Matajis come forward. But Prabhupada said everyone is Prabhu, we should see everyone as master. And Prabhupada even referred to the ladies as Prabhus. Okay, other ones? Aren't you ladies less intelligent? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, less intelligent. I thought so, you know. Now I know for sure. So, what's that? Ruffian, wow. Ruffian, R-U-F-F-I-A-N. Okay. Offensive. Puffed up. Jealous. Lusty. What? Envious. Selfish. Karmi. It's pretty good. Rakshasa, right? Demon. Okay. These help us. These words help us when we remember them in our Krishna consciousness advancement. Develop a nice positive self-image. Okay. I think that's enough. We got the point. Just stand there for 2 hours, and then. Here, good. That's my pen. Thank you, Sita. So, those words, but I'm going to tell you something even more interesting. The positive words don't help you either. Wow. Why is that? Because we are not static living entities. I mean, sometimes we act Krishna consciously, and sometimes we don't act Krishna consciously. We're energy. We're Krishna's energy, so sometimes we're this, sometimes we're that. And so when you give people a designation like that, it creates dissension or it creates differences, dichotomies between people and even between or in your heart, like a split self. So, of course, there are certain phrases or words that we can use. You can put it down. Like, we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are devotees of Krishna. These are eternal designations. Everything else, all these things are what we call, in Sanskrit, upadis. Upadi means designation. And they don't help us in our Krishna consciousness. All right, so that's
these words and the use of these terms, the static terms, disconnect us. There have been studies, sociological, anthropological studies, that show the more a society uses these types of words, there is more violence in society. Just like most of you come from the Balkan area, right? Except for those from Split. I know. But that's in the ozone, you know, outside of this material world. So, if I couldn't the planet of Split. So, most of you come from the Balkans, and you know there's been so much fighting. Because when you see someone as their designation, like Bosnian, Serbian, Croatian, Slovenian, Catholic, or Orthodox, or Muslim, and that creates division between people. So that's one way that we have disconnected from ourselves and from others. By the use of what we call judgmental language. Static language. So we already did this. I'm not going to go through this whole chart because you can't see it on the thing. So we'll go to the next slide. Wish this we had a better projector. So in this course, we're going to examine the structures of society, how they contribute to disconnection and violence, and how we use power in our relationships with people. Then we're going to learn how to connect empathically and work to fully integrate compassion into our lives. 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, just a little overview, empathic communication. We're going to talk about the components, the application, and the impact. Okay. So what basically we're teaching is language and communication skills that allow our real nature to flourish, that helps us to avoid reacting to some stimuli immediately and to actually come in touch with our real needs and the needs of others, by following a process which we're going to go through step by step, which is a process called observations, feelings, needs, and there's one final step which is called requests. It's a 4-step process, and we're going to spend time with each and every step of that process. And here you see the same. These are the 4 components here, and I'll explain it briefly. Observation means to see something without making any judgments. Then to be in touch with your feelings, not your thoughts, but your feelings about that observation. And then to connect to something we call needs. And you're going to see some of this here, but we'll learn about that later. And to learn different strategies for fulfilling those needs without making demands of people. So we're going to learn how to eliminate our judging, diagnosing tendency, respect. We're going to learn how to respect others, be attentive, empathic, and above all, learn how to function on what Krishna calls the intelligence platform. Prabhupada said the intelligence platform is the form direction of the super soul. Intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. And you know that example in the Bhagavad Gita where you have the intelligence is what part of the chariot? Anyone know? The intelligence is the driver. The reins are not Gurvati. Let someone else answer. The reins are what? The mind. The horses are what? And the passenger is who? Us. Okay. So if you can control your intelligence or function on the intelligence platform, then you can actually come to a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. We're going to change the way we communicate, the way we give, the way we receive, and change this whole dynamic, like ISKCON language that we've learned so far. There's devotees and demons, and non-devotees, karmis, that divisive language. And bring us to more sensitivity to the words that we use, so we can bring people to Krishna's lotus feet instead of driving them away from Krishna's feet. Okay. This is too complicated right now. Okay. So the four components, again, I'm mentioning this, and this is important if you can all write that down. Observations without judgment. Being in touch with your feelings. The needs that are connected with those feelings, and finally learning how to make requests, not demands, on others. And most of the course is going to be exercises. This is just the informational part of the course. Okay. We're focusing on human needs, whether they're met or unmet. And then we're going to relearn compassion and communication to meet those needs. As I mentioned before, there's two ways of being empathic: sharing our needs with others, being what we call vulnerable. And you can only be vulnerable if you actually have emotional independence. You understand? And that means you're not really worried about what other people think of you. It doesn't affect your own self-esteem. And receiving empathically from others. Okay. So the first step, because it's all a needs-based understanding, that all feelings come because of needs, all strategies that we have are because of needs. So we have basic needs, here we go, that we all share. This is clear here. And there are seven different categories of these basic needs. These are common denominators of every single person. And these needs are needs that we should not be embarrassed about having. Now, many times we are denigrated or chastised for having these needs. Like if you tell someone, you know, I need autonomy, the need for autonomy is to be myself, to make choices in my life for myself, to decide whether or not to serve Krishna. You know, I'll give you an example. I was just contacted by some devotees in one of the zones that I have, but I'm not going to mention the place. So this person, one of the leaders in this zone, he was complaining about another devotee. He said, this devotee is in Maya. He said, Maharaj, I want you to come here and scream and yell at him, chastise him, and force him to be Krishna conscious. So, we get that all the time. You know, sometimes I'm working in a zone that, this is not in this part of the world, I work in zones where some of the GBCs had that particular dynamic. Not here. No, don't worry. You know, real heavy. And they say, Maharaj, why aren't you like him? You know, why are you so soft? Why are you a sissy? I mean, why... Just tell us what to do. Chastise us. Force us. But then my reply to this devotee was that if I force him to follow the regulative principles, and I don't know how I'm going to do that, you know, out of fear. Yeah, you can do it. It works. Sometimes. But then what happens when you force someone to do something? Does anyone know? What? It's of the same opinion still. That's very good. A man forced against his will is of the same opinion still. He may do it. But then what happens? He's not doing it willingly. And if it's Krishna conscious, he's not making spiritual advancement by doing it. Wow. That's a realization for you all to think about. Because devotional service is executed with what, according to Prabhupada? What? Free will, but there's one part of the body that we execute it with. Subtle body, Prabhupada said. So if you point a gun at someone and say, in Mangalarti, we used to do this to devotees when I was a brahmachari. Dance! Any of you ever seen a Western movie where the guy pulls his gun out and he says, dance, partner, dance! So we used to do that when we were new devotees. I was one of those tough brahmacharis. Dance. And actually we did other things, like we wanted someone to come to Mangalarti. We dragged their sleeping bag into the shower. And we turned the cold water on them. Or we played cartels in their ears. Sounds familiar? Yeah. I think Gopinath is relating to it too. Yeah, sounds like Gurukula. Huh. Now I understand what was going on in Gurukula. Sorry if I'm destroying illusions here. But you don't make spiritual advancement by doing that, by forcing someone to serve. Because devotional service is executed with the heart. That's the point. Krishna says, Bhakti Mama Vijnati. Only by devotion can I be known. So basically, that's autonomy. We have to allow people and to fulfill their own desires and goals and also fulfill our own desires and goals and not feel forced or do things because we feel guilty or we're supposed to do them, we're threatened. These are not good reasons. In other words, everything you do, important principle, should be done because you're choosing to do it. Okay, now we'll ask some questions. Does anyone do things because they have to or supposed to? Prajna Vihari, why don't you tell us about it? Anything, share. You like to share? Because you have to. Okay. All right, let's see. He picked a very good one. I have to get up in the morning. Okay. So, what's the reason for your getting up in the morning? So he doesn't have to get up in the morning. So, what? To set an example. Okay. He has to get up in the morning to set an example for others. Okay, very good. And so, there's a way to rephrase it. I'm not saying don't get up in the morning. So that you'll be joyful about it. I'm choosing to get up in the morning because I want others to be enthused in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't that sound a lot more encouraging? Because have to means I look at my watch and I say, damn it, it's 3:30 in the morning. And I want to means joy. I get to enthuse the devotees and set a good example. So that's one example. So let's take more have to's and have some of you transform them. Does anyone have to do anything or forced to do anything? Let's. Oh, you want to take it? Okay, brush.
I have a chalara.
All right, you have to chant. Braja Bihari has to chant around. Transform that now. All right, you want someone else?
I choose to.
Why? Because he has a need for spiritual advancement. He wants to come closer to Krishna. Okay, anyone else forced to do anything? Forced to cook for your husband? Oh, I see a lot of nods there. I'm forced to cook for my husband. Marshall Rosenberg told one funny story in this regard. I should relate it. He said there was a lady who came to one of his courses. And she said, I'm forced and I hate to cook for my family. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And then he talked to her about it and said, you should only do things that you really want to do, that add to your life, that you choose to do. So she went back to her family that night and she said to her family, I choose not to cook. And then about 2 weeks later, he ran into one of her sons. And he asked her son, you know, what happened in your house? And he said, thank God she's not cooking for us anymore. Because every night she would cook for us, and all she would do is complain. You understand? So Krishna doesn't like service. Complain, I got to wake up, chant these rounds, 16 rounds, what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You know that song? That's a soul song for the, anyway, black soul song. So, we should do things with joy. And even those things we think we have to do, you can transform them into something that's life-giving or something that's very pleasurable, in a pleasurable expression. So Gopinath, did you want to give us one that you have to do? School. Gopinath has to go to school. Love. We hate school. What is that? No more teachers, no more books, no more teachers. Oh, anyway. Did you ever hear that one before?
Only if you have a teacher like
Ramana,
that you like
school. Oh, yeah. Oh, she makes school like Vaikuntha. I've attended some of her courses, but that's why I am what I am today. So, all right. So Gopinath, all right. Do you want to transform that or have someone else transform it? What's that? Okay. So, why are you going to school? Okay. So, what future plans do you have for yourself? What would you like to do in the future? Surf? Okay. So but you'd like to be able to make some sort of living? You have a need to make a living in the future, you know, make some money, or your father always gonna give you money? Hopefully. Hopefully your father always give you money. Yeah, it's a nice family. Maybe you can adopt me too. So let me help you that you have a need for economic development in the future. And therefore, you can think about this. I'm not imposing, I'm just giving an example. But you have other needs too. You know, respectability, probably going to have a need to find a nice wife, right? And if you're not educated, nobody's going to be too interested. Oh, your father will find someone. Okay. That's good. Wow, what a father. So, because you have those needs, you pick your own needs. I'm not telling you what to do right now, but if you think about the future, what needs you have, and if your parents present it to you like this, it's a very interesting thing working with young people, that if you help them understand what needs they have, then what? Then they can understand the need for going to school. No. Well, your father will work with you on that. But you do have future needs, hopefully. Okay, anyone else? Any of the ladies have any things they're supposed to do, have to do, must do? No? Yeah. You have to work and earn money. Okay. And there's no alternative. What if you didn't work and earn money? What if you didn't work and you didn't earn money? Okay. So let you do the exercise, rephrase it. You have a need to attend seminars, a need to go to India, a need for spiritual life, a need for celebration. Therefore, why are you working? You choose to work, why? Yeah. So next time you go to work, you can look at work in a different way, right? Think about it. It's just a transformation of words. But it's interesting because we are holistic. Whatever words we use affect how we see this world. You know, all these have to... I mean, I'll give you an example of something that I had to do that my mother made me have to do many, many years ago and I still can't do. How you can't force someone. When I was very young, my mother made me clean my room. And she didn't give me any reason for it. She just said, you have to clean your room. And she used guilt. If you don't clean your room, look at what you're doing to me. What kind of son do I have? Roger Bihari knows all the words here. He's from the same ethnic background. And guess what? To this day, I can't clean my room. All the devotees who assist me know that when they come in my room after 1 hour, it's a complete mess. Because I'm still rebelling against my mother after 58 years. And don't tell her that. Okay. So getting on with the needs. With the first basic need is a need for autonomy, which means choosing our own dreams, goals, plans, strategies, etc. That's a basic need all of us have to feel alive. There's another need, which is called the need for celebration, the basic need. Can someone give me an example of celebration, things we do to celebrate? No? Nobody's here been to Gaur Purnima or what? Yeah, graduation ceremony. Or what? Birthday. Birthday, Gaur Purnima, wedding. And I got interesting news for you, funerals. That's also Ekadashi. Yeah, thank God he's dead. Well, what a sense of humor. But at funerals, when we mourn for someone, that's a type of celebration. Because we're all getting together and sharing emotions. It's celebration. Okay. And we should not be embarrassed by these needs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that we have spiritual and material needs. And they both need to be satisfied to be stable, steady in Krishna consciousness, like Gajendra the elephant showed us in the Bhagavatam story. So, when we come to Krishna consciousness, many times we're taught to be ashamed of our needs. Right? Unfortunately, that's not real Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada never did that. Okay. So, celebration, integrity. That means being true. Integrity means being really true to what we believe. Now, I don't know if I should give this example, but I'll give it anyway. When we first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, some of the teachings we had were to, by hook or by crook, distribute a book. And before I joined the movement, I was trained up to be very honest. And then I was given instructions that interfered with my moral principles. And it causes a lot of conflict in me. So we have this need for personal integrity, and so does everybody. We have a need for interdependence with others. That means we do have a need to love and be loved. We have a need for appreciation from others, interaction with others, acceptance from others. Okay, next type of need is called a physical need. And certainly all of us have the need for what? Air, food, prasadam, protection, rest, shelter. Okay. Next one is play. Who here has a need for play? Everyone. Can someone give me an example of how you can fulfill that need for play? Some strategies. Football. Swimming. Football. Wrestling. No. That's Maya. So, kirtan. Yeah, kirtan. Playful kirtan. What did we do the other day in Split? We did whitewater rafting with all the devotees. That was playful. The devotees were thrown in the water. We were splashing them. We were chanting Nittai Gauranga. It was fun. Gopinath, you should join us. We have fun. Take sannyas and you have so much fun in life. You won't have to go to school. Look at me, you know, just no school, no responsibilities. And people give you donations for eating prasadam. Isn't it great? What about the perks? They're really great. So, anyway, so we have great reason for taking. I took sannyas because I wanted mahaprasadam. So we all have that need for play. Fun. Drill that into your head. Fun. We're supposed to have fun. Krishna consciousness is supposed to be fun. Sometimes I look at people, you know, sitting in class and going, oh. They're not in touch with themselves sometimes. They just say, after class, they say, well, that was a blissful class, Maharaj. You got to be in touch with yourself. And finally, we have a need for spiritual communion. Of course, that's beauty, harmony, peace, Krishna consciousness, meaning, life, etc., etc. So, our feelings, the main thing we're trying to point out, and we're going to have to end in 5 minutes, our feelings are connected with these needs. So, you know, we can use words for different needs, but they only hint, they only give an indication of what our real need is. The real point is our consciousness and our communication, not just with the words, but with what we call body language. Words are just what percent, Brajavihari, of communication? 7% of communication. Can you imagine that? That is why when people have email exchanges, what do they generally start doing? Arguing. Fighting. And as we mentioned the other day, someone will pick out a whole bunch of quotes from Srila Prabhupada. And someone will pick out another bunch of quotes and they'll start throwing them at each other. They're called quote wars. Just like nowadays people have these paintball wars. You heard of this before? So on the internet, devotees have quote wars. And it gets worse and worse and worse because there's no communication when it's just verbal. So most communication is the body language. I'll give you an example. Like if I say about someone that I really care for them and I'm using body language that's not consistent, it doesn't work. We'll use him. Just sit there. I really care for you, Trevor Crumb. So it has to be consistent. The body language,
The tone of voice? Let's say I'll use inconsistent tone of voice. I really like you, Trivikram. Same words, opposite result. Or I really like you, Trivikram. You're good. And even the thoughts that we have become transmitted. Ooh. They become transmitted through the ether. No. Because people can pick up what we're feeling. Because you have so many little muscles here and there and everywhere. And you're not going to be able to have this body language. There's another course that I give on body language where you can read someone's mind just by seeing how they act with their body. That's a cool thing. Someone thinks I'm a mind reader, but I can just see what they're doing with their eyes, with their eyebrows, with their hands, with their legs, like that. Okay. And this communication, empathy, can be applied in every single situation, intimate relationships, schools, organizations, therapy, negotiations, and conflict. It's a very nice dynamic. And you only need one person to do it. You don't need two people. One person empathic, like you saw with Lord Buddha, and the other person will pick up on it. It's the art of caring about the person's needs. We can interact with people to turn them from monsters, as you see here, monsters, you can't see it very well, to real people who have needs like ourselves. And they can. This can happen when we give up our, what we call preconceived needs, preconceived ideas, sorry, about people. What we think they are and actually approach them as dynamic entities. Okay? We're almost finished because today is just an introductory day. And you're going to be able to heal misunderstandings, deal with your authorities in a very nice, empathic, connecting way, diffuse dangerous situations. We're going to learn how to say no without aggravating people. Pretty good. These are all the things. And we're going to be able to redirect conversation, okay? And that's it. We wanted to thank you all for listening so attentively. Tomorrow we're going to do mainly exercises. As we learn, I'll tell you what's ahead of us. We're going to learn, first of all, the four ways that block empathy. It's spelled wrong. It's E-M-P-A-T-H-Y. And communication, which are called diagnosis. When you label someone, you deny responsibility for your own emotions, feelings, you demand something of someone, or you think that someone deserves to be punished because of certain actions. These are the four D's of discommunication that block communication, and then we'll go on to the four components, which we mentioned before, which are observing something. We're going to do exercises and observation. We're going to learn about feelings, these basic feelings, which you see some of them listed there, needs, which we talked about today, the seven basic categories, and how to make a request without a demand. Okay? So any questions or comments about any of the points we made? It's time. I know it's very warm, and we want to thank you for, you know, giving 100%. And if anyone during the seminar, I welcome and I need feedback. If anyone during the seminar feels that I'm going too quickly, then you just tell me and I can slow down. Because one of the tendencies I have is to go much too fast and just to just be giving a lot of information very, very quickly, because that's the way I learn. Everybody's different. So I want your feedback in the seminar, okay? Any questions, comments before we end for the day? Where? Oh, okay. Yes, I'll be happy to give you a copy of the PowerPoint that I'm using. And also the DVD from the seminar will be available. And also I can recommend books.
that you can read about this and other seminars you can take on this. And the reason I am doing this, you know, I would much rather, like on an internal basis, much rather be talking from the Madhurya Kadambini or some like real Rasika literature like that, about Krishna in Vrindavan and running after Radharani and Radharani keeping Krishna from coming to see him. I'd much rather be doing that. But it really pains me when I see the disconnectedness between devotees in ISKCON, and I have a need, this need language, I have a need somehow or other to fulfill need and desire, to fulfill Prabhupada's desire to have a society where that is based on love and cooperation, which Srila Prabhupada wanted. And also I have a need to attract other people to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I've heard many comments, just to be honest with everyone, from people on the outside saying the devotees are very cold. They don't interact with people in a way that's attractive, isn't it? I'm sure you've all heard this. So I would like, without changing our basic paradigms, our basic philosophy, to enable our society to grow in such a way as to satisfy the previous acharyas and satisfy His divine grace to the Prabhupada, to actually become something that is the major spiritual path for the whole world. So that's where I'm coming from. That's what's in my heart, okay? I'm being vulnerable. Okay? So any other questions, quick questions, comments? Otherwise, we invite you to attend the seminars given by these eminent personalities, these wonderful personalities, Braja Bihari, and they have so much to teach. Braja Bihari and Mother Urmila, and we're so happy to have them here. I mean, I can't... Oh, Braja Leela. Oh, sorry. Braja Leela, dear disciple of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and Braja Leela I've known for so many years, too. And Braja Leela is just like an ocean of compassion. And she's also going to be teaching about empathy and connecting with other people and conflict resolution. So, I think... What? Did I miss someone? Who? Oh, Krishna Chaturprabhu. Oh, my God. Krishna Chaturprabhu. What will your seminar be about? A mixed bag. So it'll be Krishna Katha or something. So that he will remind us that our ultimate goal is to be Krishna conscious. And so he'll tie all this in, you know, everything I've been saying, so we just don't get into singing, all you need is love, love, all you need is love. So we invite you to attend Krishna Chaturprabhu. We're actually so honored to have these Vaishnavas here and so honored to have them sitting here. And we value everyone's feedback, especially the senior Vaishnavas who are so expert in giving these seminars. So we'll see everybody tomorrow for tomorrow's seminar. And every day we're going to be doing this, except for Tuesday. Tuesday we're going to be going to Slovenia just for the day because it was arranged for us to meet the president of Slovenia, who is half a devotee right now. So he's a vegetarian, he preaches about vegetarian, and he's almost there. Very, very nice person. Okay, all glories to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hari Bol.